from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour numero dos. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Taking you right up to noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. Talking a ton of Kings today, and while we're here, I want to remind everybody to subscribe to the Kings Beat, thekingsbeat.com. Get in there, subscribe, and get everything from James. You get game recaps, weekly recaps, breaking news stuff.
All kinds of things.
A podcast.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's not, my favorite thing about it is it doesn't flood my inbox, but it's also not like, hey, I haven't seen anything from the Kings Beat in a long time.
Yeah.
It's just every couple days.
Good flow.
Yeah. Really, really, really nice. Shout out to the Kings Beat. Shout out to you, James. Before we get to our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for Friday, we're going to bring the vibes up a little bit. We're going to talk about the win over the Raptors. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, let's kick off the strong vibes by telling you about the International Sportsman's Expo. The International Sportsman's Exposition, the ISE, is coming to Sacramento from Thursday, January 18th through Sunday, January 21st at Cal Expo. For over 50 years, sportsmen and adventure seekers alike, that's James and I, sportsmen and adventure seekers, have come to explore the hundreds of hunting, fishing, shooting sports, and camping products. Listeners will have a chance to win tickets with us, ESPN 1320 AM. To check out the International Sportsman's Expo, all you have to do is head to ESPN1320.com and fill out the online entry form to enter for a chance to win 4 weekend passes to the event. 4 weekend passes, you and 3 friends cruising around, checking out all the latest in hunting, fishing, shooting sports, and camping products. As somebody who loves to camp, you'll find me there.
As someone who now has flannel, you might find me there.
Dude. You're halfway there already.
I am. I'm halfway there.
We love the ISE. All right. Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for Friday. Our friends at Jiffy Lube said, hey, here's 82 $100 gift certificates. Give one out after every single Kings game.
That's right.
And we said, okay, Jiffy Lube, we got you. So our first one for Friday's game, here's how you're going to enter. ESPN1320.com. There's a Jiffy Lube sign right at the front, a logo. You click on that. You're going to enter a code word that I'm about to give you. And that will enter you to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. The first code word for Friday, Kings player of the game, Keegan Murray. Your code word is Keegan.
Keegan.
Murray. K-E-E-G-A-N is the code word. You enter that at ESPN1320.com. Click that Jiffy Lube logo. Enter the code word Keegan, K-E-E-G-A-N, to enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. We will have another one of these coming up. You can enter again. Nobody's going to be like, hey, you entered twice. No. Double your chances to win that $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. And that is, that's what I would do anyways.
Yeah. Enter.
ESPN1320.com.
See it.
All right. We'll have that second one for you from the loss to the Pelicans. Spoiler alert, it's not a Kings player.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
I made the executive decision on this one. I didn't consult you first. Sorry, James, but
it's okay.
It's
I'm in agreement.
Okay. All right, so you and I were sitting there at the game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings are rolling.
Yep.
Against the Toronto Raptors. And you mentioned to me, you're like, vibe in here is kind of weird tonight. Mm-hmm. A little strange vibe. And I felt it as well. And part of me thought, I think it's because of the trade deadline. I think it's because people know, like Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, these are guys who, like, they're not going to be here much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're probably not going to be here much longer. They're being shopped in the trade market. And so part of me thought, yeah, this is people, you know, wondering, oh, it's Pascal Siakam, and is that deal going to happen? And, oh, can you really get behind, like, the Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter thing? The season doesn't quite feel real yet because this is a team that wants to contend, and it feels like they're going to make a move before they do that. So not really fully bought in yet because you're kind of waiting for that move. But then you said something that stuck in my head, and then Sunday's game, I think, highlighted, bolded, and underlined it. And you said, like, people don't know what to make of this team.
Yeah.
And that was the weird energy, because I think there are people who watch this team game in and game out who go, okay, up 15 on the Raptors, that's great, but how long until it's tied again? Can this team actually hang on against a good, young, rangy, good defensive team? Can they actually hang on to this lead? And that's what, because every Raptors bucket, every time the Raptors cut it to 9, it got tight. It felt like the energy got a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it is, because this team has been so inconsistent and so up and down that even when they're playing really, really well, it feels like there might be another shoe that's going to drop.
Yeah, it's a bummer that fans feel that way. Like,
I get it, though.
Yeah, no, I do, too. But I still would say it's concerning, right? So the Kings right now, they're 13-7 at home on the season. And we talked about, like, one of the true ways outside of improving defensively is to take care of home court.
Yes.
Right? And the Kings right now, they're on pace to basically go, like, 26-14. So that's an improvement, but it's a three-game improvement. In order for the Kings to take that next step, they need to be a team that wins 30 games at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really close to already not being that team. You got 4 more losses, right? Mm-hmm. And to be a 30-win team at home. And I think a lot of people, like, you just feel it. I think also having, like, a big potential trade, enough people in the building had kind of started to see what was happening. We can't act like everybody in the world, like, follows Sham Sharania on Twitter and knows that there's a potential trade that had just fallen through or may or may not, like, what might happen, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a different world that we live in where, like, information is right there at your fingertips, but only if you're actually looking for information at your fingertips. And there are a lot of people who don't do that. So I don't know. To me, Kings fans want to get behind this team, but they're also apprehensive. They don't know that, you know, again, a buddy hit me up. Spent $700 for his family to go to the game last night. Zion Williams didn't play. Williamson didn't play. And the Kings got throttled by, at one point, we're down 50 on their home court. And every night's a sellout. Like, 17,800 people were there last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel for fans who, like, want to get fully behind this team, but keep feeling like they're just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you want success after 16 years of failure. And last year you had some success and everyone's so excited, but there's something about the second year. There are now expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And this team right now is not always living up to those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blue collar town.
Yeah.
Kings fans expect their team to play hard each and every night, whether they win or they lose. They're used to losing. Mm-hmm. Now they get a little taste of the good stuff and they're like, hey, how come we're not winning consistently? How come the losses feel so bad?
That's just it.
Yeah.
It's like you said, they're winning more often this year than they did last year. Like, fact. That is just empirical data.
Yeah.
That will tell you that. But I don't think they're better. And I think that people understand it. Like, this is a good sports town. It's a good basketball town. People understand what they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's not that they're losing. It's not that, you know what, the Pelicans just really have their number and, you know, if they get a couple more shots to fall and they swing a couple of those games, you still feel... It's not that. It's the nights like last night where, man, this team is just clearly not there.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer because the fans are there every single night. You hear them. You see them.
Yeah.
That the team doesn't reciprocate that, every single night. Like I said, you're going to have your off games, but this is way too often for the Kings.
It's way too often. And it's way too often where the game isn't competitive.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Where you go to a game and you're like, you walk out going, oh, I just wasted my money.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night, my six quick thoughts. So like I opened with refunds needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I mean, at some point, like that's just not, that's not like a competitive game. That's not okay.
The Kings scored 39 points in the fourth quarter. This just highlights how bad last night was. The Kings had a 39-point fourth quarter, which is excellent. Score 39 every quarter, you're never going to lose a game.
Yep.
They scored 39. If they held the Pelicans to zero, they still would have lost.
Mm.
If they went on a 39-0 run in the fourth quarter, they still would have lost the game.
And it wouldn't even been close, I don't think.
No, it would have been they would have lost by three.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, just
all right.
Like you said, just not competitive, and that sucks.
Yeah. So no, it's something they need to answer for.
If somebody happens to be listening who went to their first ever Kings game the other night, and you're thinking, you know what, I'm never doing that again, I give it another shot. I promise.
That's one of the problems. It was like there was a bunch of kids that were there for the first time.
Yeah, give it another shot. Like the Kings do such a good job with their in-arena stuff. It's such a fun environment.
Oh yeah, it's
just
great.
Give it another go.
Yeah,
I promise they're not all like that. And more often than not, they are not. Let's revisit Mad Props when we come back, and then I want to do a couple of things from the 49er game. I got a couple little takeaways. Also, a Warriors player has threatened to retire. Clown. We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, you're dang right it is. Tough weekend for the Kings. The 49ers played, though. They lost two.
Yeah. Why did they lose, Kyle?
Boy, great question. Well, neither team played anyone.
Yeah.
The Rams played Puka Nacua into the third quarter because they were trying to get him some records. George Kittle and Dre Greenlaw wound up sitting out for the 49ers. Kittle had some back spasms before the game. Greenlaw had what Kyle Shanahan classified as Achilles tendonitis.
Mm.
Both precautionary that they sat. It was weird because they were active, but then in street clothes the whole game. A couple of takeaways real quick. Big picture takeaways for me before we get to Mad Props.
Yeah.
The 49ers kicking game is a massive question mark going into the playoffs.
Horrible.
There was some hope, and Jake Moody just hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities this year. He's been, you know, really money since missing the game-winning kick against Cleveland and then missing the next week against Minnesota. He's been really good. He finally missed an extra point yesterday after starting 60 of 60. That was really impressive. But we talked about it on Candlestick Chronicles on my podcast. Like, man, the Niners might just try and run him out there just to get him a couple field goal attempts, just to get him comfortable.
We talked about it. We said, why don't they just kick it on first down?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right.
Just line it up from 38 yards, line it up from 43 yards, just kick it.
So he did line it up from 38 yards and he missed.
Mm.
And then later he missed an extra point. Mm. And so now this thing that was already like, man, how is Jake Moody going to look going into the playoffs? How's he going to, he misses two of his three kicks, four kicks. You don't love that.
No,
you don't love that for him going into the postseason.
It adds the element of question that the Niners didn't need, and to be honest, a rookie kicker didn't need. You're too good of a team to potentially lose a Super Bowl bid because your kicker isn't good enough.
Yeah, and they've gone from having Robbie Gould, the most accurate postseason kicker of all time, to a massive question mark, and maybe Jake Moody gets under the brightest lights and he's just nails.
Yeah.
In which case, great. You know what? Home run pick if he's never going to miss a kick in the postseason. Mm-hmm. But right now, going into the playoffs, that's not something you feel good about if you're the 49ers.
Yeah.
It's a testament to how loaded they are that you're like, yeah, but the kicker. But man, in playoff games, when the games get close, that stuff matters. The other thing, real quick, team got out mostly healthy. Cleveland Furl, Had a knee injury, no ACL, no MCL, though. Shanahan will talk to reporters today and have a little more info on that, but he said there's definitely a possibility he misses a playoff game. Cleveland Furl has started every game at defensive end for the 49ers. Sam Darnold's still Sam Darnold, it turns out. He was fine. He was pretty good. He made a couple of really, really nice throws, but that fumble at the end of the game on the last drive was just peak. Like, peak Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Not taking care of the ball, scrambling, turning it over in a big spot. Like, man.
Yeah.
But made some incredible throws and some really nice plays, and there were a couple of drops in there that did not help his stat line.
The touchdown pass to, was it?
Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie Bell was
dot.
That was spectacular. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like threw it to his back shoulder on a line.
Yeah, in between two defenders.
While he's getting beat on, like, total PI all over the place. And just like fitted into like a really small window that wasn't even there.
And then the throw to Ray McLeod where he's running left and then threw it back across his body to McLeod down the field, and McLeod just couldn't handle it. He got hit and ball comes out.
Even the
that
play
a long completion
where he scrambled and he threw to the back of the end zone. Was it Chris Connolly?
Yeah.
And Connolly didn't catch the ball.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, that was a really, really nice
play. That was
right
before. Yeah, that was I think the play before the Ronnie Bell touchdown. Back to back, really nice play. So yeah, overall pretty good day, but Sam Darnold being physically talented was not in question. We all knew that.
Yeah.
Say, when the game's on the line, can he scramble and take care of the football while he does it? And he didn't. All right. Those are my big 49ers takeaways from a game that didn't matter. That was a tough watch. It was a tough watch for your boy.
Luckily, I had a Kings game to cover.
Good. I'm very, very jealous. All right. Let's
they were down by 50 at home, Kyle. Spoiler alert.
Let's recap Mad Props.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, tough week for us, James.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we did not do great in Mad Props this week. Our first prop was Sam Darnold passing yards or Kings Raptors total. You went Kings Raptors total. I went Sam Darnold passing yards, 265 on the total.
Oh,
which if I had known that, I might have gone different. But 189 on the passing yards for Sam Darnold. I will say though, a couple of long completions got dropped, and impacted his stat line greatly. But 189 to 265. You took the Kings number. I took the 49ers number. You get the win there. George Kittle snaps or Keegan Murray field goal attempts. We both went Kittle.
Oh.
And he didn't play.
Oh.
So it's 0-11. We both took a loss on that one. I think if George Kittle had played, I think we both would have been right. And I think that because we go next to Deebo Samuel. We had Deebo Samuel snaps or Domantas Sabonis points. We both had Sabonis points and we both won. He had 24 points. It was 20 snaps for Deebo Samuel.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was close. So I think George Kittle would have played in probably that same range. Had he played.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that Deebo played as much as he did.
I agree. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, and that they fed him. He needed to get like 7 rushing yards to get to 1,000 for his career and be like the second player ever to have 5,000 receiving yards or 4,000 receiving yards and 1,000 rushing yards in his first X amount of years. I don't know. No. Weird thing. Feels like he could have taken care of that on the first drive and gotten him out of there, but alas, they didn't. He played 20 snaps. Still didn't outdo Domantas Sabonis' 24 points. The 49ers total or Kings-Raptors first quarter total? You took 49ers-Rams. I took Kings-Raptors. 41 points for the 49ers-Rams, 63 for Kings-Raptors in the first quarter.
Ooh.
Yeah, they had a big first quarter for Kings and Raps. Jake Moody field goal attempts or Harrison Barnes rebounds? We both went Moody field goal attempts. He had just 4 boards for Harrison Barnes against the Raptors. Love that for Harrison Barnes. He needs to get on the glass a little more often, I think. And then this last one, bang on the number. Sam Darnold touchdown passes or Kevin Herter made threes. You went Herter. I went Darnold. They both finished with 1. So that is a tie. You go 2-3-1. I go 2-3-1. And we tie in the final regular season edition of Mad Props.
Oh.
Look at us.
All right.
Who would have thought?
Huh?
That was honestly, like, because if you don't know how we do this, with Mad Props, I just pick things and try and match them up as best I can. I don't go through, like, a betting site. I don't go to BetQL and roll through to find the props and find the ones that are close. I just make this up on the fly.
Well, that and I have no idea what you're going to ask.
We do no preview of this at all. You are figuring it out on the fly.
Yeah, they're not written in our rundown.
No.
Kyle hides them from me.
Oh, yeah. And I don't even give you access to the doc.
No.
I probably should.
No, it's okay. I don't need access to the doc. I don't need access.
I want to try and devise a way to make Mad Props like a public doc that listeners, because I see people in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320 like playing along. And yeah. I would like to be able to like note those, but I can't because we have too much going on.
Yeah.
So I would like to try and make a document where people can enter and then we can have some fun with it that way.
And then they'll go in and change their answers like during the game.
No. Like a submission doc, like a, you submit a document to me and that way it's in my email. So I know what your picks are.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm going to mess with that for next football season.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm in.
I'm going to see if Jiffy Lube will give us prizes to give people who win.
Oh.
I don't know. We'll work it out. We'll work that out in a meeting that's not on air.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that makes sense. All of it.
I told you a Warriors player has threatened to retire. We'll talk about that. And the Kings did a no-no last night, and I'm so happy that James Hamm was in the building to ensure that this was brought to light because people noticed, and you forced somebody to answer for it, and I appreciate you doing that. That's what journalism's all about. We'll tell you what it was next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, you want to do a... Which one do you want to do first?
I don't know.
We have Kings podium and we have Warriors player threatening to retire.
Let's do
Kings podium first.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Because I want to bring in whichever of D'Lo and KZ comes in for the handoff. I want to bring them in on the Warriors retiring thing because it's honestly to me it's a little bit funny.
Yeah.
But first, before we do that, Kevin in Sacramento wants to jump in here. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I'm gonna channel my inner Will Z here. I got some stats that kind of emphasize just how up and down this Kings team has been this year. So out of 35 games, they have trailed by 15 or more in 15 games, which is 42% of the games, and they are 3-12 in those games. And actually, if they trail by 25 or more, which has been done 6 times, they just lose.
Yeah.
So you can turn the TV off. Right then, when they go by 25. And then on the flip side, out of 35 games, they have led by 15 or more 18 times, which is a 51% clip, and they are 17-1 in those games. So just, they're either hot or cold.
Dang, that's wild.
I don't know how to fix it, and don't know what's going on, but it's just kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing that they got going on this year, and it's been super frustrating. But they do have a winning record, so I guess we have that.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, that's right. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that's it. And that's I think why we've talked so intently about the trade deadline, because I think it's really clear, like, there needs to be some kind of shakeup here. Mm. Because hey, that's great that you go and you beat Minnesota in Minnesota, you beat Denver or whatever. You have this 23-point comeback against the Hawks in Atlanta, and that's all great. And you blow out Memphis in Memphis. That's awesome. But then you have nights like Charlotte and Portland and this latest one against New Orleans, where when you're that good and then that bad, you fall in the middle.
Yeah.
And this, this is not to set the expectation that they were supposed to win a championship this year,
mm-hmm.
but they were supposed to be better, and record-wise they are, but I don't think basketball-wise they are.
Yeah, it's very debatable whether they're a better team, mm-hmm. and I think we've seen some improvements on the defensive end.
Sure.
But it's just this weird letting go of the rope thing that, I don't think I've ever seen a team that has a winning record that the losses are so egregious.
Yeah, certainly not a good team.
No. Yeah. It's very confusing. I don't know what to make of it, and when I'm watching it, I don't know how to process what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of, when it starts to snowball and get out of control, it's bad shots, it's no rebounding, it's other teams getting confidence and hitting mm-hmm. shots that maybe they shouldn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just really starts to snowball.
Yeah, it's kind of it. And I'm not saying this is exactly what happens, because I don't know, and frankly, I don't know if the Kings know. It feels like when a game starts to get out of hand, everybody starts looking around for, it's like in, I know everybody here has worked at a place where there's some task that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be done by anybody in your office or your class or whatever it is. There's this task that needs to get done, and it never gets done because everybody else is looking at somebody else to do that thing.
Yeah.
And it's always, someone else will do it. That's a little bit what it feels like to me in these games is, hey, someone else will take over. Someone else will go, we need a rebound, someone else will grab it.
Yeah.
We need a big spark on defense. Someone else will step up. I'm going to take this possession off.
Here, I know we have two coffee makers that are really nice, and they have these little pouches.
Yeah.
And it's some good coffee, right? But mm-hmm. the pouches fall into a little drawer underneath, and the thing gets full all the time. And there was Rich Ripley, our friend here in the outside.
Rich.Ripley@odyssey.com. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. He would be the only one who would empty the little tray of pouches.
Brutal.
Every time.
You got to do it.
And it'd be all right. And, on occasion now I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have who empties the dishwasher? And a lot of times it's not it. Someone else expects that there is here at the office somebody who just does dishes.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have a cleaning person that just does dishes.
Correct.
They believe that those dishes.
It's a group activity.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to put the dishes away. It is what it is.
Yeah, and sometimes it's got to be Keegan Murray that goes and lights a spark. Sometimes it's Malik Monk. Sometimes it's De'Aaron Fox. It can't just all be Domas and Fox.
Yeah, totally.
And just everybody looking at those two to go do stuff. It's got to be a collective effort.
Yeah.
So the Kings last night, speaking of collective efforts, they've done this once before, and we talked about it on the radio.
Yes.
They did it again, and you asked Mike Brown about it. It was great. So the Kings, after getting shellacked last night by the Pelicans again, roll out one player to the postgame podium.
Mm-hmm.
And that player was Keon Ellis, who played 12 minutes.
A two-way player
who played 12 minutes.
And played his butt off.
Played his rear end off.
Yeah.
Played 12 minutes. Not even a starter, not in the regular rotation. Got plugged in this game.
Yep.
A two-way player. The only person who went to the podium to answer for whatever the hell that was.
for a team being down 50 at home.
At home.
Losing by 33, but being down 50.
A team that was down 42 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They sent out Keon Ellis. This is the second time this has happened now. And I appreciate that you, James, now granted Keon Ellis comes out first and then Mike Brown comes out. And I appreciate that you said to Mike Brown, like, hey, how do you feel about Keon Ellis being the only person that has to come out here and speak about this?
Yeah.
And I think that needed to happen because I think, frankly, the fact that I know that Domantas Sabonis talked in the locker room after, but that, like, the podium's a thing. Having a podium game is a thing. So going out and being the one who sits in a press conference and talks to the media matters. And the fact that it's not Harrison Barnes, it's not Kevin Huerter, it's not Keegan Murray, it's not surely not Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, that it's Keon Ellis of all the players. That's really, really frustrating for, I mean, multiple reasons. Most notably for me, that sucks for Keon.
Yeah.
Why's he got to go do this?
Well, yeah. That's what, anyways. Like, my thing would be, like, Keon must be the worst at drawing straws that there ever was. Like, every single time he draws a short straw, like, hey, Keon, maybe you need to figure out the straw game better, right? But here's a couple of, like, semantic things I'll point out. Mm-hmm. Number one, it's league mandated that two players come to the podium and then the coach, the head coach, right? It's a league rule.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, number one, is a problem, that you're not abiding by the basics. And some people will say, well, Sabonis talked in the locker room after the game. So did Chris Duarte. Like, he did talk. And sure. It's like, okay, but here's the other problem. The podium is set up because it's part of post game, number one. Mm-hmm. So those people are going on TV when they're doing it. Mm-hmm. There's also a percentage of the media that's in the room that does not have locker room access. So the podium is for all of the media. And then there's a group of media that doesn't get to go to the locker room afterwards to go get that secondary content.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another piece to this. But then I'll also say, like, look, De'Aaron Fox has been here 7 years. Mm-hmm. He's gone to the podium so many times after a bad loss that
sure.
It's like dizzying. Like, we used to wait during the pandemic for him, and we would wait like an hour and 15 minutes for him every single night and wait for him. But like, I can even tell you like how many times Buddy Hield came to the podium
mm-hmm.
after a bad loss. And, you know, I know because he used to say it all the time. Yeah, we tricked that one off. He'd say it mm-hmm. all the time. So for me, it's not that Domas and De'Aaron don't talk, because they do. They are actually really good about doing this. But during a bad loss, when this is a series of bad losses like this, somebody who's in the rotation needs to step up and go to the podium. It's okay for Keon Ellis to come out because he actually played really well in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
It's not okay for the rest of the rotation that, you know, again, if Kevin Huerter doesn't want to go to the podium right now, I think that's okay. Everyone knows. They've all seen the reports that Kevin Huerter could be traded.
Yeah.
Right? So it's okay for that player not to have to go
yeah.
and deal with that question, as well as why'd you lose by 33?
Yeah.
But somebody else has to say, hey, look, I'll take it for the team tonight. And also, the team has to say, hey, somebody needs to go to the podium. Who is it tonight? And so I expect that this won't be a problem moving forward, because, you know, that's why you asked that question. And I felt mm-hmm. bad about, like, throwing Mike under the bus. And I actually had a conversation with Mike afterwards. But at some point, like, somebody has to... It's an accountability issue.
Yeah.
If you're going to get clubbed, somebody has to be accountable for that mm-hmm. and not just like in the locker room saying, hey, my bad, I had a bad shooting night. Somebody has to go out and explain to the fans why it was it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it should not be Keon Ellis, because Keon Ellis is, again, he makes half of what a minimum scale salary player makes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people in that locker room that make $37, $38, $40 million. Guys that make $18 million, and then Keon Ellis makes $550,000.
Mm-hmm.
What are we supposed to ask Keon? Like, hey, man, how come you guys got clubbed by 50? I don't know. Like, I wasn't in the game when that happened.
Yeah.
I wasn't part of what happened. Like,
yeah.
And like, hey, we got to get a better start. Oh, is Keon Ellis calling out his teammates? No, he's not calling out his teammates. He watched the same thing we did.
Right.
Like, you feel for somebody who, like, realistically, it's okay for him to be out there. but he can't be the only one. Somebody who is in the rotation needs to step up and take that, and they didn't. And it's twice they've done it this year, and that's why you have to call it out when it happens.
Right, and someone in the rotation needs to say, hey, Keon, this one's not on you. Sit down. I got it.
Yeah. And like the other thing I want to add, Kyle, like one of us in the media, we have to do that. We have to ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as them. There has to be accountability for us as well. Why won't you guys ask the hard question? It's like, oh no, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always feel good to ask that question, but it is an accountability issue too. Somebody within our group, and it doesn't have to be me. It could be Sean. It could be Jason Anderson. Like, it could be somebody else. But somebody has to ask a question.
Yeah.
Because it's a question that everybody else is going to ask after the game. Like, how come only one player went out to the podium?
Yeah.
And so we answered it. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown, I thought, gave a good answer. I do. I think Mike Brown gave a good answer.
No, because the goal of your question, at least, and maybe I'm wrong here, so please correct me. The goal is not to get an answer out of Mike Brown, because Mike Brown doesn't know. Mike Brown doesn't say, okay, guys, hey, tough loss tonight, practice tomorrow, here's who's going up on the podium. Like, it's not, he doesn't, nope. He even says. Like,
that's not his job.
He's like, I have never once thought about it.
Yeah.
And as he shouldn't.
No.
But somebody, it has to get brought up somehow. And so I'm thankful that it did, because honestly, like you said, people need to be held accountable.
Yeah. And
players
again,
need to be held accountable.
And I think, like, again, media, like on occasion, we have to be held accountable. Like,
sure.
If we're,
1,000%.
If we're not willing to ask a tough question, then, you know, get somebody else in there that will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's about, honestly, and Domantas Sabonis said this in the postgame locker room, like, it's about the players holding themselves accountable, like, within their locker room. And that's one thing I do wonder with the Kings is, like, where is that?
Oh, like, yeah.
Who is it?
Hey, Mike Brown was clear in his postgame, like, this is not an X's and O's problem.
Mm-mm.
This is not an X's and O's problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is straight up a bringing it or not bringing it problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you here tonight or are you not? Are you engaged or are you not?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to rumble or are we going to get walloped?
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to figure that out with this team, just like Domantas Sabonis said, I don't have an answer yet. Like, they're trying to figure it out. And look, at the end of the day, I would much rather cover a team that's 21-14 with some bad losses than a team that's 14-21 with a couple of good wins, and for the most part, is bad.
Sure.
So it's not that they're bad. It's that they have a problem they got to figure out.
Yeah.
And this plays into a larger conversation about accountability.
Right. The reason we have spent so much time harping on the 33-point loss to the Pelicans and not the win over the Raptors, because they played that Friday. Well, one, mm-hmm. the Pelicans game was more recent, but two, they're better than this.
Yeah.
And they're better than having this happen a dozen times or whatever it's been this year, where they're just not competitive in a game.
Yeah.
That can't, if this was the 2009-2010 Kings, we're going, oh, well, they lost to the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Anyways, 49ers this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Like, that would be the, but the expectation is higher now, and they should be better. They are more talented than this. You just said, I don't think it's an X's and O's problem. That does not appear to be the case.
No.
And
I agree with
that's
Mike
the most
about
frustrating
that.
Part.
Yeah.
Is if it was, hey, what offensive adjustments? Hey, this little defensive adjustment. No, it's none of that, man. It's just like,
yeah.
Can someone go grab a board? Can someone foul somebody? And
but
can someone do something?
I think when you say can somebody, like, you can't have, what was it? Did 15 players play last night? I think 15 players played last night.
Mm-hmm.
One of them had 10 rebounds. No one else had more than two.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. That's on every single player who stepped on the court. And sure, one guy might have scored some points.
14. They only have 14 players on the roster right now. But yes, every available player played at least 6 minutes.
Well, they had two-way players. Like, Keon played. Yeah, they have 14 rostered players, which, again, in case that was missed, the Kings are, well, they haven't officially press released it, but Juan Toscano-Anderson is being waived. But once he clears waivers, there's expectation that he will sign a 10-day contract with the Kings.
All right.
So
hopefully, All right. Kenny Caraway is here of D'Lo and KC fame. D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon. KC, any quick thoughts on that loss last night before we get to a Warriors player threatening to retire? Oh, my bad. Hang on. Your mic's not on. That's my fault. While you're getting ready, I turned your mic off. Go ahead, Kenny.
Nah, man. I mean, that's just that was embarrassing last night. If I was the Sacramento Kings player, I'd be embarrassed. Now,
would you go to the podium?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I for one, I don't know why talking to the media is such a chore for these guys. Like, you know, I know people ask weird questions and people take quotes out of context and all this other stuff. Sometimes I get all that. But you're talking to these guys for like 5 minutes max. Nobody is going to ever really press you about giving random responses. Like, so if somebody asks, you go to the podium, James asks you, what happened last night? And I'm De'Aaron Fox. I could simply say, man, we got beaten every facet of the game. And
just didn't have it.
We didn't have it tonight. And, you know, it's one of those things where we can't let that happen again. We gotta work to be better.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, yeah. you don't even need to really answer the whole thing. Like, just, I don't understand why that's always such a chore for these professional athletes. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's part of their job. And I do know that, like, a lot of these guys, they talk a lot. Domantas Sabonis talks after almost every single game. You got to wait him out, but he'll talk.
Also, there's also this, like, Kenny, you talk for a living. We all talk for a living.
No, that's true.
If you're not a fan of public speaking, I could imagine that's probably pretty exhausting.
Yeah. But once again, I talk for a living for 4 hours a day. They could talk for 4 minutes. Like, they could literally talk for four minutes and be like, I'm done.
And say the same.
Yeah, shout out KSFM. Big ups 102.5. You know what it is. Check in today. We got deals coming back. But like you and sometimes we get on here and we gotta I'm not saying anything about them, but we got to say something profound, right? Like, we got to have something like new and refreshing. And so you can literally damn near give the Rasheed Wallace both teams flight hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you could do every time. Like, the for the most part, they all speak in like these cliches all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do is get the cliche answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for yesterday's game while we're here. ESPN1320.com. Click the Jiffy Lube logo. Enter the keyword CJM. CJ McCollum. He dropped 30 on the Kings last night. He is our player of the game because, frankly, there wasn't a Kings player that we wanted to give it to. So it goes to CJ McCollum. CJM. Just his initials. CJM. Make it nice and easy for you. ESPN1320.com. Click the Jiffy Lube logo. It's front and center. You can't miss it. And enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Keegan was the first keyword. CJM is the second one. Enter both those keywords. You'll be entered twice to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, courtesy of our friends Jiffy Lube.
Jiffy Lube. I did take CJM, the less than 29.5 last night.
Oof.
He had 30 at half.
Oh.
30 points, rebounds, assists combined. I took less than 29.5 for the game.
Oy.
Yeah.
That game was over early. Like, it was
real
over. Like, yeah. I'm the type where they get down 20 in today's NBA and stuff like that. Like, oh, man, make a couple threes.
Yeah.
I think there was a point at the 3-minute mark of the second quarter. I said, it's a big 3 minutes here. Like, I think they might have been down 18. It's like, if you can get it to 12, you know, maybe you're alive. I think it ended up getting as high as 24 in those 3 minutes. It's like, This is literally done. Like, it's over. I don't have to pay attention to this game anymore. Tweeted it out yesterday. It might have been the worst sporting event I ever attended.
Dang.
That's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, when you got to say that.
I went to Buccaneers 49ers in 2010, and I think the Bucs won 17-0.
Oh.
That was the worst game I ever attended.
I once watched Rick Russell throw a two-hitter against the Mets, both were ground balls up the middle, one that he kicked by Wally Backman. That was the two hits. Those were the two hits he gave up, and it was miserable to watch a 1-0 game.
Well, that's usually not the case.
Eh.
Usually it goes by pretty fast. There's some intrigue to it. It's a close game. You get to see masterful pitching performances. That sounds like a good time, man. Did the Giants win?
I think you're not a Giants fan
either.
They did win. Yeah.
Hey, can I play this Draymond Green sound real quick before we get out of here?
Yeah.
Here's what Draymond Green said on the precipice of his return to the NBA?
I had a conversation with Adam Silver, commissioner of our league.
Thank
I just told him, Adam, it's too much for me. Like, this is too much. It's all becoming too much for me. And I'm going to retire. And Adam said, you're making a very rash decision. And I won't let you do that. You know, we had a long, great conversation, very helpful to me. Very thankful to play in a league with a commissioner like Adam, who's more about helping you than hurting you, or helping you than punishing you, or, you know, he's more about the players.
Totally. Come hey, on, here's my thing real quick, because we got to go here. Draymond Green found the person that he needed to talk to at work, found the right things to say to that person, said those things to that person, got himself reinstated. You can book it that Draymond Green is going to be suspended for the season for some on-court incident this year. Nothing has changed. Draymond Green is being manipulative. Draymond Green is the guy that does things wrong. Oh, hang on. What do I got to do to fix this? Not actually fix it. He's going to, oh, hang on. How do I patch this back together to get back in as fast as I possibly can and to make everything right just in words? That's what he's done here. And that's what this says to me. That he goes, because clearly things weren't progressing. And so he just went, you know what? All right. Drastic option. Adam, I'm retiring. I'm just done.
He wanted to be the villain. Then he became the villain of his own story, and now he's a victim. Straight up.
He is not a victim. I know what you guys are saying. He's not a victim or a sympathetic figure. And why is he doing his podcast like it's a casting call? Like he's auditioning for what background is that? What the hell is that?
Hey, do you know why? Because that's what he thinks is going to hit in the documentary about himself. Like, that's going to look nice in the
back. It looks like he's auditioning for the Avengers or something. Like, what? Just sit at your desk. What are you doing here with this black background?
Ridiculous.
Right. Wild.
We have to go now. D'Lo and Casey are next. Thank you, James. Thank you, Casey. We've been The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.